All right, shifting gears. Sean, Goon Squad.
What everybody's been waiting for.
Have they?
I keep getting messages about it. So
you know, it's kind of ran its course in my in my personal interest. My tank is running empty on this one because it's just drug out so long.
I think the interest, obviously, you know, we've been talking about this for almost a year now, or over, well, it happened over a year ago, but then we really got into it. I think everybody, the question on everybody's mind is, we know what the question is. What's going to happen to Brian Bailey? That's the question.
Hold that thought. We have a caller on hold that I was not aware was on hold. Let's take it. Let's go to our infield correspondent. We have Kingfish on the line.
Okay.
Hey,
you morning. There? How you doing? When are you going to do a live remote from Planet Fitness?
I may go this afternoon.
I wouldn't put it past you. No, I was in the courtroom yesterday for both hearings. Yesterday they heard, first up was Hunter Elward. He was one of the shooters at the Braxton House. And then that afternoon they had Jeffrey Middleton, who Sean will remember because back when he was a prosecutor, Mr. Middleton was a JPD cop hauling ass down Highway 18 in South Jackson, and he was driving, 100 miles an hour, ran into a guy, killed him, T-boned him at a red light.
Yeah, I remember that very well.
The impact was like 87 miles an hour, and, you know, DeLauder was the judge. He got, you could figure out who the lawyer was, and guess what?
I think Ed Peters was a lawyer.
2-year non-adjudication, expungement, the whole nine yards, and he becomes a cop again. So, as far as I'm concerned, yesterday was justice for back then, too, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think wasn't Ed Peters a lawyer on that case?
Uh-huh.
That's what I thought, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, imagine
I did
that.
Not prosecute so, that case. I don't know who did. I can't remember if it... I don't know if we
but
conflicted...
But was your office. Y'all tried.
It was our office, yeah. Yeah, I remember. I mean, I remember all this when it was going down, but I wasn't in the courtroom for that, but I heard about it.
But yes, yesterday, I tell you what, the first hearing was pretty emotional. I mean, Hunter Elward got up there, and they put on their evidence, and, you know, you read all the stuff that's still... When you sit there in the courtroom, you're seeing the victims... And you're seeing their families. I mean, it's just, it gets pretty emotional in there. And they're going through everything. And then it comes out. Everybody remember, there's a second case here also. And that the facts are just now coming out this week. And I think I told you, Clay, a while back, just wait till the sentencing's because there's a second case, and that's when you're going to find out what happened there. And I'm not going to say his name on there, but they pulled over this white guy. He was a... suspected thief, and they're trying to get out of him information where's the lawn equipment you stole. And so it was Elward, it was Updike, and it was Deadman. And, you know, Deadman winds up, pulling out his gun and shooting into the ground next to the guy, pointing the gun at the guy. You know, they beat the heck out of him, scared the shit out of him. But then now it gets really sick. But remember, it was Deadman who used that sexual device, on Jenkins and Parker, that night.
Yes.
I'm just going to say sexual device. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And so then he winds up, they get him in a, submissive position, and he winds up, let's just say he just, like in Blazing Saddles, takes it out, whips it out. And so he sits there and tries to make him, do you know what? And to his, to his face, and the guy won't do it. So then they pull his pants down, and I hate to say this on the air, but Deadman then grabs it. Says, "Oh, this is big." And then he turns around and then he starts dry humping the guy. I don't know any other way to say it. Sorry, Matt. Anyway, so and you're just sitting there going, "What the hell?" I mean, what demons are in this guy? This is just...
Was that lumped in with this sentencing? And I guess that's a good question for us.
Yeah.
Were all of these cases, these like that other 27-page document, is all that going to come back up for more sentencing, or is everything kind of one and done?
No, this is all together.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he pled to the...
This is all together, okay? You're just sitting there, just everybody's going, holy, and these guys, what they did to these two, Parker and Jenkins, was racial, but the more you learn, I mean, these guys are just equal opportunity thugs. I mean, I think if you were poor, trailer park trash, if you were a meth head, dope head, whatever, dope boy, I mean, they just saw that as a license where they could do whatever they wanted to you because they knew who's going to raise hell about them. Nobody, right?
Yep.
Then they just, in fact, if the gun hadn't, they were using a Glock. And you go look online, there's plenty of lawsuits involving Glocks that have accidentally been shot by police officers, right, Sean? And so they didn't realize, you know, they're screwing out the Glock in the guy's mouth and it accidentally goes off, boom, now they got a problem. If that hadn't happened, I hate to say it, they go away scot-free and you got two guys who are going to prison probably.
Yeah,
you know?
Unfortunately, that probably would have happened.
And the judge, let me tell you something, Judge Lee, he's throwing the max. He's so far, he's 2 for 2 and throwing the max at these guys. I mean, he's throwing the book at them. And he flat out said, he says, you know, I thought about saying something about this case, and I went back and forth on it. But then he said, but the facts of this case are so bad, I don't need to say anything about it.
But also, when you say the max, I know Clay brought up the other cases in the New York Times report in November. Those cases were just not prosecuted. Those cases were not prosecuted as a part of this. This is just
I just meant the second case here with the white.
Yeah.
Guy.
Okay. There's three actual victims that they pled guilty to, which I assume that was in exchange for not prosecuting them on all the other stuff. That would be the obvious assumption.
I don't know about any prosecution. I mean, and just because the New York Times and Jerry Mitchell reported it doesn't mean, I mean, remember, these are, I read through them, some I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, I guess, yep, that's true. Then there's a couple of them going, I'm not so sure about, so we'll see. And yet, we've yet to see anybody, I'm not hearing of any prosecutions of Bailey. I know they're trying. I know they're trying to get people to flip. What was funny was about 5 months ago, it was on a Friday afternoon, and there was a rumor going around the media that, oh boy, the feds are coming to arrest him today. They're going to come get him today. They're going to take him into custody. And so there was like two trucks hanging out all afternoon at the Rankin County SO. Well, the funny part about that is that ain't how it works. What they do is they indict you and it's sealed, and then they contact you or your lawyer, and they generally, as you know, Sean, arrange for you to come in.
Yeah.
And then you do, then you know, all that Hollywood crap don't happen, you know, even in a case like this. You know?
Yeah, they don't do I didn't imagine there was going to be a big helicopter and FBI raid on the Rain County Sheriff's Department.
They're not coming to arrest you. Usually they indict you first, and it's sealed, and then they, for whatever reason, build their case, and then they'll contact your attorney for you, and then, you know, generally they have you come in, and someone like that, that's definitely how they would do it. And, you know, but like I said, Now, I'll say this about Elwood. He got up there yesterday, and he was a man. Hey, look, he was a man. He took his medicine. He stood up and said, you know, he does his little mercy plea to the judge, and he says, I want to talk to the family. He turns around, looks at him, and he just flat out, he made what seemed to be a heartfelt apology to them and said, hey, he was wrong, how he saw it when he went to sleep every night, and he said, I can't imagine what you guys see when you go to sleep at night, you know? And I mean, and one of them says, I forgive you, man. You know, and there were several blacks that were sitting around me and, sorry, in the audience, I could hear them just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, you know, that sort of thing.
Hey, let me ask you this real quick. What did Elwood mean by saying going back 7 years? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. Basically, and I think this is what you're going to find. The real dirty one here is McAlpin. And I think what happened was some of these guys, they were young. You're going to have come out today, upside testifying, and you're going to talk about sexual abuse as a kid. Deadman had lousy parenting. His father's in jail. His mom's a drug dealer. I mean, she's been busted in the heights around the corner from you, Sean, for drug dealing in the past. I mean,
and we prosecuted his cousin for running over. James Craig Anderson.
And then they're getting these guys who are troubled, and they're bragging them along into their little culture. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and you remember, King Chris, we prosecuted in 2011 Deadman's cousin, Daryl Deadman, for the...
I got the video.
James Craig Anderson, right, yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, I was there, okay.
Remember? Yeah, I knew you remembered. So I'm just saying for the audience that don't remember that crime, there was in 2011, James Craig Anderson.
Yeah, Christian was in the courtroom when he was sentenced. But my point is, though, these guys, I mean, they get with the goon squad, and then here they come. Yeah, we do it this way. And I mean, that's what two of them have said so far. And so I think what you're going to see is you're going to wind up seeing McAlpin being blamed for a bunch of how they were developed. And then you also have Deadman. Also, Deadman, he's this afternoon, and he's probably, in terms of the actual physical acts that took place, he was he's probably the worst cook of the whole bunch.
All right, hold on. So it is today and tomorrow. It's not March 29th and 30th?
Two sentencings per day.
Okay, good. Well, this wasn't on your site. This was WLBT in their second article that came out yesterday after the second sentencing. Mm-hmm. They said the next four were going to be on March 29th and 30th. I was like, man, why 2 weeks apart here? But thank you for clearing that up.
No, that's today, and that was originally. I think they were changed, but no, they were supposed. No, that's today and tomorrow.
Do you think? Hey, great work with your courtroom artist there. I saw the stuff you had on the website.
That was Bill Wilson, Emil Wilson's dad. He does great work.
He does. Emil has told me about him. Do you think, and this is just my gut feeling.
You've met him.
Huh?
You've met him. Just think about it. You've met him. Don't say it on the air, but you've met him.
Okay.
let me
ask you this. Do you think Deadman, because the sexual nature of some of his abuse, do you think that they throw the book further and harder at him, or do you think it's going to sit around about the same thing?
But you look at what all he was doing. I mean, Carlos Tanner did a great job of outlining it yesterday. I mean, most of the violent acts, I mean, Deadman was the one doing them, you know? Yeah. Deadman and Elward.
You know, I said on my live stream yesterday that if Clay Edwards was in that position where I had one guy shoot the gun out the side of my mouth and another guy sexually abusing me, I could give one of them 30 years and one of them 20. I'm giving the guy that sexually abused me 30 and the guy that shot me 20.
Man, I'm giving them both 30.
Well, yeah, but if I got to pick, I'm taking the sexual abuse worse than I am being shot.
But like I said, you can tell that Judge Lee is just disgusted. I mean, in fact, I mean, when the mother of Jenkins gave her victim statement, he just said, "That was a horrifying experience, ma'am." I mean, he was very empathetic with her. And, you know, he's not one of these emotional judges on the bench at all. And, it moved him, you could tell. I mean, so it was just, let me put it this way about Deadman. I mean, when you look at what he was doing in these two cases, everybody likes to make the little prison jokes. Yeah, they're going to love you when you get to prison. Well, I got a feeling one defendant here might be the one doing the loving and might be the aggressor, if you get my drift, you know?
I got you. Yeah. All right, Kingfish, thank you. Y'all check out JacksonJambalaya.com for all the updates on this. Kingfish, you'll be in the courtroom today?
I know I'm making the second hearing. That's going to be Deadman. I'm trying to make the first one. That's going to be interesting to understand. That's going to be pretty interesting. And Opdyke, you'll just have to wait and see.
All right, look, plan on calling back in the morning if you can. I want to hear your perspective again.
Yeah, but it'll have to be the first hour, okay?
Thanks. Sounds good. Bye. Thanks, uh-huh. All right, let's take a break real quick, come back. I want to unpack all of this with Sean, tap into his 10 years as a former prosecutor and see what he's got to say about all of it. We'll be right back.
Let's do it.
Let's start with your first critique. Is this is not the max that it could have been.
Yeah, and they pled to, I wasn't a federal prosecutor, so it's not really my area, but I can just tell you from a general view of prosecution, there was specific crimes that they pled to, and I think one was like deprivation of civil rights under color of law, a bunch of things. And they pled to three specific victims, one being Mr. Parker, Mr. Jenkins, and this new man, I forget his name, I think it's Schmidt or something. So those three they pled to these cases. As we all know from, you know, anybody who's read the New York Times following this, Mississippi Today, there's a lot of other cases out there. Which ones of those are legitimate and which ones aren't, I don't know. But I can tell you one thing, the FBI knows.
Yeah, and I will agree with Kingfish on kind of reading through that. Some of it, you're like, are these guys taking advantage of a situation and a potential lawsuit? I got that vibe too. Mm-hmm. But based on what they pled to, it's all believable.
Correct. I think it all follows a specific pattern.
None of it could you sit there and say, well, that couldn't have happened. Like, it was all believable based on what they've pled to.
Yeah, 100%. And I think what happened was they also, if you recall, they pled to what's called a bill of information initially. I think that's – and we have that in state court.
Tell us what that is.
That's a – you plead before your case is taken to the grand jury. So it relieves the DA's office, or in this case, the U.S. Attorney's office, from having to present your case to a grand jury. It means you know you're guilty, and you're going to try to get a lesser sentence by doing that, making things easier. And also, I'm assuming from this, that all these other stuff that they were, they, if either they knew about at the time, talking about the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, or they were going to find out later, this was all an agreement to wrap it all up. That's my best guess, that that's probably what happened, or these guys wouldn't have pled to a bill of information. They got 20 years, or Elward did, and Middleton got 17 and a half. We'll see what the other guys get. But that is a lot less than I bet their potential criminal exposure was going to give them.
Great way to – the exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to put it there. So this was a – based on what they pled down to or whatever you want to call it.
That's the way it looks to me, yes.
This is the max on that. But what they were exposed to was hundreds of years.
Potentially way – we don't even know the – you know. And, of course, you and I have heard stories that haven't been reported about this and that and – there's a lot of stuff out there that these guys did for a long time. So I think this was all in exchange for that. I think that kind of a sentence was, you know, is a tough sentence, but it's also much better than what potentially could have happened. Like I said, their exposure. And to me, it seems like it's very apparent that some sort of deal has been cut. And you could hear that from what Elward said. He said that you had to sign on to the goon squad if you were going to work the night shift. Well, that means everybody knew that. That's what that. Everybody knew that that was the culture there.
Mm-hmm.
So him saying that, it just was very telling to me. And then this, them getting these kinds of sentences for potentially just some of the worst, you know, I don't know. I guess you would say police brutality, whatever you want to call
acts
it.
Acts of police brutality,
maybe in the history of the nation, you know. And so I think, at least in modern era. So I think that kind
you
of
had,
deal.
You had a Fed tell you. That investigates this stuff that, Sean, this is the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, somebody who's retired, yeah, telling me that. And that some people had said that, yeah, that it's just so bad that, you know, that nobody's ever seen it. And I think that was done this way because they're trying to make a deal. And everybody, of course, is, you know, speculating, what are they going to do to Brian Bailey, right? That's the question.
What's the deal? What's the deal?
And I don't know. I don't know what his liability is. I don't know in the feds, I'm sure they call it accessory before the fact. To what crime? I'm not sure what they can prove him to be. We'll see, what they've come up with. But obviously, these guys have talked in order to get this deal. That's what happened. What that bears fruit, I don't know.
When you go from potentially hundreds of years,
mm-hmm.
which I mean, obviously, we just say life in prison.
Yeah, life in prison.
To 20, which... easy for us to sit here and say, 20 ain't so bad considering the other option when it's you that ain't got to do the 20 years in jail.
Yeah.
But still, at the end of the day, a lot of these guys going to get out in their 60s and live another 20 years or so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think Elbert is 31 years old, so he'll get out at 51-ish or a little younger, not much older than we are now.
No.
So, I mean, he's got, you know, hopefully a lot of life left. I'm talking about for us, so hopefully we do. And so, I mean, yeah, he's not going to be that old. And the other two, I think Middleton was 46, so he'll be in his 60s at some point at that age range when he gets out. Because the feds, I'm not an expert on the way federal times works in the Bureau of Prisons, but what I've been told recently is that what happens is that they serve around 80 to 85%. It's not like in the state system where we've got different classifications of crime that you could be eligible for parole, like 25%, most nonviolent crimes, and then there's 50%, and so on and so forth. So it's a little bit different in the feds where they don't do that. So you serve most of your sentence. That's the way it was relayed to me. So they're going to serve that time. And so the guys that, you know, in their 40s, they're going to be there until they're, you know, like retirement age. But these guys will get out when they're, you know, the younger ones, when they're like 50 years old. So they do have life. That's a better deal than, say, life in prison. And I'm assuming in exchange for that, they talked. What they said, you know, we'll find out. Maybe we won't. Maybe they won't do anything. But, you know, that's what I think, at least.
It's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds here in the next 6 months to a year. I wouldn't... You know, I like Kingfish said, it ain't like Hollywood. They're not going to helicopter in.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get a text on the Guns and Gear text line that said, "Well, ask Roger Stone about that."
What about what now?
About how they'll come and how the DOJ will come and arrest you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So,
yeah. So, I mean,
depending on how big of a scene they want to make.
Yeah, that's right. I guess they will sometimes.
Hey, we got a text. I guess we'll just run over on this segment for another 2 to 3 minutes. Explain. Somebody asked, "Why did they do this in federal?" And hey, guys, don't be ashamed. Never be embarrassed to ask a simple question, because a lot of us don't know the answers to this stuff. A lot of us are learning about the legal system every day. And Sean's a lawyer; he's still learning about it every day.
Yeah.
Explain to people why this is federal court, not state court right now.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, the federal system and the state system are two separate sovereigns, basically. So you can be charged, I'll give you an example, being a convicted felon with a firearm. You can be charged with that federally, and you can be charged with that on this as a state crime. And both of that can be prosecuted equally because it's separate sovereigns. So these are different crimes that they were charged with federally. Like, I think, again, deprivation of civil rights is a federal crime. In state court, I think they were charged. I haven't looked at this, what the state charges were, but I think it was like aggravated assault maybe was one of them. I believe that was one of them.
A lot of these laws exist under a different name in the state statute versus the federal.
Well, I mean, deprivation of civil rights is different than aggravated assault, but there's things that correlate that they brought state charges to. And because the state said, we got to do something. And I think always what happens a lot in these contexts, Clay, is, you know, the feds, if they bring a charge, then the state will bring one, and then state will just run it concurrent. You know, it's just a big to say we did something.
So will there still be a state trial?
I think they pled guilty to that, if I remember correctly, whatever the state charges were. I can't remember what they were. But.
Well, not a trial, I'm sorry. But, I mean, will there still be a court appearance to put all across the T's and dot the I's?
I think they had that already. I think they did that. Several months ago, they pled guilty in state court, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Well, I remember they went out to Brandon and did something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what I just didn't pay attention to the state portion because the state was kind of like, I mean, put it this way, it was kind of like sprinkles on ice cream. You know what I mean? Like the feds already had them. They were going to be subjected
to
that.
Just a formality.
Almost, you know, almost that, where they were going to have some state time too, and that was going to be concurrent. So
I had somebody ask me last night, or they were being polite, but I did my live stream yesterday, and I mentioned that they were going to be running. State and federal would run concurrent, and a lady tried to tell me that was not the case. I'm like, I'm almost positive it is.
I'm pretty sure that's what the deal that was cut, or at least that I've read.
Yeah, because there would be no point in them agreeing to anything if they were going to tack 20 years parallel, you know, on top of
consecutive to whatever the feds run or the feds is. They wouldn't.
You just go to trial at that point. It's like.
I mean, if you're going to get the rest of your life in prison, you know, it's kind of like we used to, the old murder law was, you could only, now there's second degree murder, but when I was doing it, there wasn't, it was just manslaughter or murder. And if you were charged with murder, your option was go to trial or plead and get life, or go to trial and get life. Well, you know, you might as well go to trial at that point.
Yeah. You may get a Hines County jury.
Yeah. You know, you just might as well roll the dice at that point.
Hey,
so.
And then if you're found guilty, Adrian Wooten may just throw the conviction out.
That's another thing.
Let's take a break on that. When we come back. We'll answer some of your texts on the Gunzinger text line. And I want to get to another Kingfish article on his website from yesterday. Adrian Wooten, the same Adrian Wooten, the same judge in Hines County that locked up our good friend Anthony Fox when he was clearly innocent, has now let a clearly guilty murderer go throughout the jury's conviction. Make it make sense. You can't. This is the Clay Edwards Show. We'll be right back. Well, oh, hey, sorry. Hey, you there? Well, I thought that's who we had. Maybe I looked at the number wrong. Number static on my end. Oh, Sean, I'm sorry. I didn't have your mic on.
Yeah, that's cool.
What did I say I wanted to talk about? Adrian Wooten.
Okay.
Adrian, let me pull this article up on Kingfish's site here. And guys, y'all are welcome to text in. The text line, Gunzinger text line, 769-241-1944. The phone line, if you want to chime in on any of this, 601-879-0002. Without getting too far into the nuts and bolts of it all, y'all need to go to jacksonjambalaya.com and read the article, Jury? What jury? Wooten throws out guilty verdict. And you can't make any of this make sense. I'm just going to read the opening paragraph here, well, the opening two. It's a pitiful state of affairs when cops are locked up and killers are set free, but such has been taking place in the courtroom of Hines County Circuit Judge Adrian Wooten. A jury convicted Taquaris Jones of murder recently, but he remains free after Judge Wooten threw out the verdict. I didn't even know judges could do that.
They can do that.
What's the point in having a jury? Anyway. Done the conversation for another day. JPD arrested Taquaris Jones on April 30th, 2018 for murder in the shooting death of his cousin. Jones allegedly shot his cousin 20 times with an AR-15. Jackson Municipal Judge denied bond for Jones, but Circuit Judge Tommy Green lowered it to $20,000. A grand jury indicted him for the first-degree murder in May of 2019. Circuit Judge Adrian Wooten refused to increase his bond amount even after prosecutors asked her to do so. And here's the part that just really, just talk about things that grind your gears. She denied their request to make him wear an ankle monitor. Like, bro, you shot somebody, allegedly, 20 times with an AR-15. There's not a whole lot of intent or doubt to be questioned here.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's so funny. I've had several cases like that before where there was this debate we used to have up there called, well, if you really defend yourself, you might as well shoot him 20 times and make sure he's dead. So yeah. I think there's another argument to that, too, where it seems like, oh, wait, how could it be self-defense if he shot him 20 times? But if you really defend yourself, maybe you would want to shoot him 20 times. I think you go both ways with that, I guess is my point.
All right, let's try this phone call again.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on there. Hello? Guys, I love answering the phone, but y'all got to work with me. You got to work with me. When I'm on the air and I answer, you're on the air. Anyway, Sean, going back to this. This is not the first time she's done this, correct?
I heard that there was a one in February that, but I think it was different. It was a motion for a directed verdict, which is different. This was what's called a motion for judgment notwithstanding the verdict, which is after the jury's rendered a verdict and the judges can throw out the verdict. Then there's a directed verdict, which can happen at several points in the trial, one after the state's case in chief, then after the state finally rests. So that's a directed verdict, which is just a different thing. Before the jury gets it, the judge can direct a verdict for acquittal, which I think she did last month in February. I don't know the circumstances behind that case, though.
Gotcha. That's all Greek to me. Let me say this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm probably not explaining. Yeah. It's hard for me to explain that easily.
Understood. Yeah. Let me say this. Let's go back to the crime happens everywhere conversation from earlier. Murder happens in Rankin County. Murder happens in Madison County. A lot of murder happens in Jackson, in Hinds County. The difference in, and this has always been my thing, not just the amount of murder that happens in Jackson, the punishment for it when it happens. That 14-year-old girl that killed her mom and shot her stepdad yesterday will most likely never see the outside of a jail again. Even at 14, she'll probably be charged as an adult, barring, you know, a mental exam.
It could be some kind of manslaughter plea I could see in that case, too. You know what I mean? Manslaughter, ag assault.
She's going to do 20 years.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. I think I think it's, you know, you could see there's some sort of weird manslaughter plea there, but
okay. But my point being, when you F around in Rankin in Madison County, you in fact find out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good probability when you F around in Hinds County, and this ain't got nothing to do with the DA's office.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about them on this. That, you know, other than the Anthony Fox stuff, they're trying. I just, the Anthony Fox thing is an anomaly, and I can't stand it. But that aside, when you have judges, they ain't a judge in Rankin County that's going to let throw out a murder verdict and think they're going to have a job after they do it.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's nothing. I've never seen it before happen in any case I ever tried. Usually, you know, that's something that the appellate court will do if that happens. But, you know, so, yeah, it's not a common thing. And
it's almost like they said, oh, you're going to overturn my Anthony Fox verdict? Well, here's another good one back into the community.
Yeah, and I think what I've read here in Kingfisher's article is that she said that the state had failed to prove that he didn't act in necessary self-defense, which it is a burden, you know, in a murder case for the state to prove. But the other part I read about it was she was saying that JPD didn't investigate the defendant's claims of self-defense enough, which isn't really the standard. It's the, you know, probable cause, and then it goes to the, you know, DA's office, and they kind of flesh it out from there. So I think I don't know that that's accurate. That ruling, so that's what I would say.
All right, well, let me say this, and that may all very well be fine and good. I know if I have to kill somebody in Jackson in self-defense, All right, good, man. They're going to give me a fair chance of walking out of here. At least the judge is going to see through it and say, man, maybe it was self-defense. Maybe they didn't prove it wasn't self-defense. All right, that's great. I wish she had used that same intelligence on the Anthony Fox ordeal, not just say, oh, the evidence says this. Screw it. He's going to jail. You can't kill bad guys.
Yeah. You know, I assume that the defense had put in a self-defense instruction. The jury considered that and didn't believe it, is what I'm guessing. Yeah. And obviously didn't believe it because they found him guilty of murder. So, I mean, they had – the jury had the – you know, had the instruction, had heard the case, had heard the defense counsel's arguments towards self-defense, and they didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And so they voted guilty. Saying that JPD needed to investigate more his self – I don't know that they have to do that. Yeah. You know, that's kind of more up to the – I mean, the DA's office could send it back from – I would – I mean, if there was a possible self-defense claim, I probably would have been like, okay, guys, would you go look into this? But so I don't know. It's very – I've not quite seen something like this before.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back in. We got about 30 seconds here. I want to thank everybody that participated in today's show. Sean, great job. You were hitting on all cylinders today. Kingfish, thank you for calling in for that firsthand experience of what went on there in the courtroom. Thank you, Master D, I think, for calling. I will see y'all tomorrow. We'll be back at it. Sean will see us Friday.
All right.
Stay safe.
See ya.
Peace.